If the reason you're struggling with unbelief is because what you see doesn't match what you believe, then Jesus gave us an antidote for that situation. He says it's prayer and fasting. That takes some explanation, and that's what we're going to do today. So stay tuned for the gospel truth.
He was like a brand new boy. We've seen him for the first time since he was 3 months old, with a clear face, a clear complexion. The spots on his skin, they were disappearing. And we were just like, we have a new kid. It was amazing. And he was happy.
Now, when she woke up, the first thing we said to her when she woke up was, Jesus has healed you. And she, as soon as she heard that, she smiled. She said, I want to eat.
And I'm like, yeah, now you can eat. I said to her, so what do you want to eat? She goes, I want some lunch. I want to go to McDonald's.
And I said, what do you mean she's healed? She's healed, she's healed. And we were just jumping for joy. Wow.
She took one hand on the covers and threw it back. She took her other arm and went straight across Andrew's chest and at the same time kicked with her feet to get those covers off.
And those little legs came swinging off of that pallet and they hit the floor.
February 1st, 2002, she comes to me, Mama, I've had a little prayer. I said, yeah, it's usually a little one. What is it? She said, I don't need these puffers anymore. I said, fine, you're done. And that was it. We threw them out. She's been drug-free, symptom-free since.
On today's program, Andrew Womack will inspire you to reach out and take the healing that is yours in Jesus Christ. God wants you well, and that's the gospel truth. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of The Gospel Truth. Today, I'm beginning my fifth week in a series entitled God Wants You Well. And I tell you, we've covered some tremendous, tremendous things. I hadn't got time to go back and summarize everything I've said, but it's all been important. If you are just joining this series, or, you know, even if you've heard every program in this series, I'd really encourage you to get the materials that we're offering, because you need to go over and over and over this and get it drilled into you. Plus, you need to share this with other people. There are people all around us that are suffering and dying, and Jesus has provided for their healing, but you've got to get the truth to them. And there's not enough people that are sharing the truths that I've been sharing over this television program about how God wants you to well. So this would be good for you, and it would also be a great way for you to share this truth with someone else. So I encourage you to please get the materials. Now, we've been answering the question about why isn't everyone healed? And Jesus' disciples asked him this question in Matthew chapter 17, verse 19. They had tried to cast a lunatic spirit, is what the King James says here. Of course, this doesn't necessarily mean that he was insane. It could have been something similar to autism. It could have been epilepsy, but something that causes the person to have seizures, to throw fits and do things. And the disciples tried to cast this demon out of the boy, and they were unsuccessful. So Jesus did it for them. And then they came to him and said, why couldn't we cast him out? And he said, it's because of your unbelief. He didn't say it's because you don't believe. And I've really made a point for about 3 or 4 days talking about that you can believe and have enough faith to produce healing if that faith was just pure, if it was by itself. But faith can be diluted or negated, counteracted through unbelief. It's an opposing force. It's like faith is pulling in this direction, unbelief is pulling in this direction, and the net effect on the sickness that you're praying over is that it never moves because these forces counterbalance each other. And so that's what Jesus said. It's your unbelief that's the problem. And then in verse 21, he said, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. He wasn't talking about this kind of demon, but he was talking about this kind of unbelief. So on our program last Friday, real quickly, let me just review. I said that this is andiology. I don't have a verse that just puts it in these words. But this is what I've gleaned studying Scripture, that there are three main categories of unbelief. One kind of unbelief is because you just don't know the truth. It's based on ignorance or lack of knowledge. The antidote to that is tell a person the truth, and you can overcome ignorance, unbelief. The second type of unbelief is an unbelief that comes because you've been taught the wrong thing. It's actually disbelief. You're believing, but you're believing the wrong thing. And in our religious culture today, we have a lot of examples of this, of people that have been told that miracles don't happen today, that God wants you to be sick, that He's done this to you to teach you something. All of that is unbelief. And if you believe any of that, that will counterbalance your faith. If you're a true believer, you have faith that God can heal. It's not that you don't have faith. It's that you got all of this unbelief that is negating your faith. So those are two types of unbelief. The answer for both of those types of unbelief is tell a person the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that's out of John chapter 8, I believe, verse 32. So the antidote to ignorance or wrong belief is telling a person the truth. But the third type of unbelief that I believe he's talking about right here is an unbelief that just comes naturally from what you see. When you pray for healing, like if you have pain in your hand, and if you pray and command the pain to go, and you take your authority and do all of these things, as soon as you say amen, your body is going to send you a signal of either the pain is gone or I've still got pain. Just naturally, you are going to have information. And if the pain isn't completely gone, then you're going to have a thought of unbelief because your five senses told you, well, nothing's changed. Now, that's not necessarily evil. That's not demonic. That's just physical. And yet, there's a principle in the Word of God. And I mentioned this briefly on our program yesterday, but Jesus spoke to the fig tree in Mark chapter 11, cursed it. The Scripture says it died immediately, but it was 12 hours later, the next day, before it was visible to the physical eyes that what had happened below the surface had manifested above the surface. It was done. The power of God was released. The moment Jesus cursed the fig tree, it was dead. But it took a period of time before it manifested itself. It's the same thing. You can pray and command healing, and if you believe, then instantly the power of God is gone. But it could take a period of time for your body to feel well. Say, for instance, if you were healed of something that just made you weak and you had chronic fatigue, or, you know, in Europe they call it ME, and they call it fibromyalgia, and all these different names that they have on these muscle pains and on different things, and just weakness. If you pray and get healed, well, you can be instantly free from that. But it's going to take a period of time for your body to regain its strength. It'd be the same thing as if you were starving and you were weak because you hadn't eaten, and you just didn't have any energy because you hadn't eaten. You could eat a full meal. You could cram as much food as you could possibly eat into you, but it's going to take a little bit of time for your body to digest it and for that strength to start flowing through your body. That doesn't mean that the nutrients aren't there. It just takes a while for your body to assimilate it. You can be totally healed, but it's going to take a while before your body recovers. You can be totally set free of some sickness, but it's going to take a little bit of time for that thing to happen. I know when I pray over cancer, I curse that cancer and I command it to die, command every one of those cancer cells to leave that body. And I guess you could have just a supernatural miracle, like just recently at our meeting in Florida, we had two women with cancers in their breasts. They had tumors. And we called out that people were being healed of that. They went and checked themselves, and instantly these tumors were totally gone. Now, that can happen, but not every time is it going to happen that way. You could curse that cancer. A person could be totally healed of cancer, and yet it's going to take a period of time for those tumors to dissolve, for those cancer cells to leave, for the body to recover. And I believe that most people understand that, you know, the Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 18, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It doesn't mean you shall lay hands on the sick and they instantly recover. It just says they shall recover. The word recover implies that there is a gradual thing. It doesn't have to be gradual, but I'm saying that there is a scriptural precedent for that. And I believe that most people understand this. But in between the time when you say amen, and you say, there it is, to where you can see it, feel it, hear it, a doctor can verify that the thing is healed. In between that time, you could be totally healed and your body in the recovery mode, but during that period of time, your body, if you had problems with pain before, it's going to tell you, I still hurt, I still have pain. And that is going to cause a natural thought of unbelief. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's just natural. If you pray for a person, if they fall over dead, you're going to naturally think, it didn't work. It's just natural. I mean, I don't think that that's demonic. I don't think that that's something that you can cast out of a person. It's just natural. There are things that look differently than what God says. And you aren't an evil person. It's just normal, natural, when what you see doesn't look like it's the same as what God said. It is natural to have a thought of unbelief. Does that mean that it's therefore okay? No, that unbelief will still negate your faith. But you just need to recognize that there's not anything you've done. It's not your carnality or any of these things that's making it come. It's just natural to do that. How do you overcome what I believe I'm calling this natural kind of unbelief? That's what Jesus spoke of in verse 21. He says, howbeit this kind, talking about this kind of unbelief, what I'm calling a natural unbelief, goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now, here's why prayer and fasting will affect what I'm calling this natural unbelief. When you are praying, you are talking to a person that you can't see, you can't hear with your physical ears. You can't feel with your physical feelings. You can feel the Lord emotionally touch you. You can see the Lord with your heart. You can hear the Lord in your heart, but it's not physical. And see, if you are just controlled by your physical senses, which is where most people are, because we haven't been taught how to be spiritual. We've been taught, I mean, you don't have to, you know, it doesn't take a lot of effort to see something. You just open up your eyes and instantly you see, and you get information fed to you. Like, here's an example. If I wanted to say, are you hot right now? You wouldn't have to say, well, let me pray about it and let me study. And let me come back to you in 2 or 3 days and I'll tell you whether I'm hot or whether I'm cold. That's not something you have to study for. You know, your body is constantly feeding you information. Are you hot or are you cold? Are you tired? Do you have pain? Your eyes are constantly telling you that, you know, that tumor is gone. That mole that you were praying against is gone or it isn't gone. Your eyes will just... You are constantly in touch with this physical realm. You don't have to study, deliberate, go research it. You just know things. Your five senses are feeding you information constantly. And because of that, most of us have become dominated by what we see, taste, hear, smell, or feel. And it's not always taught us this way, but by lack of any other teaching, by default, we just get to thinking that, you know what, if you can't see, taste, hear, smell, or feel it, it doesn't exist. It's not real. Now, that's not correct. There is an entire spiritual world out there, and there's lots of scriptures I could use on this. You know, there's an example where Elisha and his servant were surrounded by the Syrians, and the servant just freaked, like, what are we going to do? And Elisha said, fear not, those that be with us are more than those that be with them. Now, in just the natural, what you can see with your five senses, that was not true. There was thousands and thousands of Syrians and only two of them. But there was an unseen world, the spiritual world, that does exist. It exists right alongside this physical world. It just can't be accessed in any physical, natural way. But Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open up his eyes. And the Lord opened up his servant's eyes. And there were horses and chariots of fire surrounding them on the mountains. When his eyes were opened, isn't when all of a sudden these angels came. They were there all along, but he just wasn't aware of them because he was only going by his five senses. But there is another realm, the spiritual realm. And our lack of being educated about this makes us just default to these five senses, what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. And most of us are just so dominated and controlled by that, that if the Lord says, you're healed, receive it, speak it, claim it, done. You do that, but then immediately, one of your five senses, what you see, what you feel, what you hear, what you taste, tells you that, nope, you weren't healed. You still have the pain. You still have the tumor. You still have the mole, you still have whatever. And you know what? There's immediately a thought of unbelief that comes. Now, how do you overcome that? Well, when you are praying, you are praying to a person that you can't see, touch, hear, smell, or feel with your five senses. So, if you pray over a prolonged period of time, and you do this consistently and talk to a person that your five senses can't verify that they're even there, that takes faith. And as you speak to God and then God speaks back to you and you hear not with your ears, but you hear with your heart. And because God spoke to you, you do something, you obey Him. And all of a sudden now there is a physical manifestation. Like, man, I could use a million examples of this, but this building, God gave us money when it was absolutely impossible. The Lord helped me. I believe these things. I spoke them into existence. Now I've got the physical reality of a 110,000 square foot facility that is absolutely paid for, and God has blessed us. You know, now I've got physical things. And because I pray, God speaks to me, I obey, now things have happened. Now my five senses, my eyes have seen something that was impossible become possible. And you know what this does? It retrains myself to recognize that there's more than just what I can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. I've operated by faith. I've seen it produce results. I've prayed over people that didn't have eardrums, had their eardrums surgically removed, and I've prayed and commanded eardrums into there, and all of a sudden their ears open up and they're able to hear perfectly. I've prayed over people that have had the parts of their eyes surgically removed. They couldn't see. And yet I've prayed over them and then had them look and they could read things and before they couldn't even see. See, those things happen and they've happened to me hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of times. And because of that, what happens is I train my senses that there is more to reality than just what I can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. In a sense, it's like you have six senses instead of five. I believe that when God created Adam and Eve, He didn't create them with just the ability to see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. I believe that they also live by faith. The Bible says that God has faith. He calls those things which be not as though they were, and we were created in His image. So I don't believe that we are only carnal in these five senses, but I believe that God originally created Adam and Eve with an ability to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. I believe that that's the way that He created Adam and Eve to operate. When it says that they walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening, I don't know that they ever physically saw Him with their eyes. I don't know that they physically heard Him, but they were so into faith that they could commune with God. It was just as good as seen. I know some of you, this is really a stretch for you to get what I'm saying, but I've got an entire teaching out on this. And anyway, Faith Builders, I've got a teaching in there about walking by faith that would just transform you. I encourage you to get that. You'd have to call and ask for it. We aren't going to make it a special offer. You just have to call and ask for it by name, and they could accommodate you. But you can get to where your sense of faith is more real to you than what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. But how do you do that? Well, prayer is one of those ways, because you talk to a person that your five senses can't even verify is there. But then you hear in your heart, in your ear, say, well, I didn't hear anything. And you say, but I heard it by faith. And over a period of time, you just train yourself that there are six senses instead of five. You know, when a person goes blind, matter of fact, I was just talking to a couple of people who were blind. And did you know that their sense of hearing increases? They get to where it's not like they have better hearing than everybody else, but they pay more attention to it. They are more aware of it. They use their sense of feel. They'll take a little stick and put it out in front of them. And I've seen people walk down a busy street without anyone helping them using a stick, and they're listening and they're feeling. They get to where they depend on these other senses to compensate for their lack of sight. Well, you are also limited if all you're doing is going by what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. You're limited because those five senses won't give you access to the spiritual realm. But faith will. And you can get to where you defer to faith more often, to where you get to where you start trusting the things that you hear in your heart, the things that you see with your heart instead of seeing with your eyes. You can train yourself and exercise yourself to where you start walking by faith. And you can train your other senses, just like a blind person gets to where their other senses become more dominant because they depend on them more. You can get to where you elevate faith as a sixth sense. And it's just as real and just as steadfast, just as sure as anything that you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. You know, let's just say, for instance, that for whatever reason you had your eyes bandaged and you couldn't see, but you were in a room and all of a sudden you heard somebody walk in, you heard the door open, you could hear the floor creaking, you could do things like that. Do you know what? You would know that they're there even though you never saw them because you're hearing it. Well, in the same way, you might not be able to see, taste, hear, smell, or feel something, but you could believe it. And you can get to where that faith is just as real to you as your sense of hearing or your sense of touch or anything else. And see, this is what prayer and fasting does. If you will pray to a God that your five senses doesn't acknowledge exist, you have to do that by faith. And as you communicate and hear and obey and start seeing physical results, in a sense, you train your senses that, oh, yeah, it's true because this guy has believed before and here are the miraculous results. Your mind can remember the results, and over a period of time, you get to where you renew your mind, your thinking, to where you trust faith just as much as you trust sight or hearing or touch. Man, that's powerful. And you know, that's how you overcome this kind of unbelief that just comes through your five senses. You pray for healing, you rebuke a pain, and then as soon as you get through and say amen, your body says, I still feel pain. And you respond by saying, but by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. That healing is already in my body. Now see, if you have not trained your body, your five senses are just going to rebel and say, you're crazy. I don't care what you say. Here's what I feel. But if you have been praying and fasting and if you've seen God come through, then your body will say, oh, yeah, this must be that faith thing. Just like the other miracles that he's seen, all of these other things. And those five senses that are yelling at you saying, it didn't work, it didn't work, it didn't work, God hasn't healed you yet, they will defer. They'll quiet down. And they will say, oh, well, we're walking by faith now. We are trusting that sixth sense of faith. And, oh, yeah, by faith, I can see that you're healed. By faith, I remember that miracles like this happen. But see, you have to exercise yourself. It says over in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says, strong meat belongs to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Man, that is a powerful scripture right there. It says it's by reason of use. In other words, you have to do this over and over and over and over. It's not a one-time thing. But if you begin to start living by faith instead of vacationing there once a year, if you live by faith, if you dwell in faith, you begin to start communicating with God and praying and fasting and recognizing the spiritual world and renewing your mind, then you exercise your senses, talking about what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. You exercise these five senses to discern both good and evil. No longer will you be dominated by just the evil, the ungodly things that are in this world, but you will be able to see beyond that into the spiritual realm by faith. You will exercise them. And you know, the very word exercise implies that it has to be repeated use and it has to be done in advance. You don't wake up the morning of a marathon and go exercise and train. You have to train and exercise yourself for a long period of time in front of that and prepare yourself. But if you will do this, if you would just begin to start communicating with God, prayer, fasting, seeking God, focusing on this unseen realm to the point that you see physical manifestation, you can exercise and train your senses that they can operate in the unseen just the same as they can operate in the seen. Man, that is powerful. You know, I've got more to share on this, but I'm going to have to end today. We're out of time. I will continue this on my program tomorrow. I would like to encourage you to get the materials that we're offering. We are drawing to the close of this teaching on God Wants You Well, and I think that these teachings would really make a difference in your life. So listen to our announcer. Please call or write and get these materials, and not only for yourself, but so that you could share with someone else. That'd be a real blessing. And then listen in again tomorrow as I continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's teaching titled, God Wants You Well, has impacted thousands of people, producing miracles of healing around the world. We've collected 5 miracle stories in 1 DVD that will inspire you and supercharge your faith. You'll witness the powerful recovery of Nikki Oshinsky after a 5-year illness, plus a brand new interview filmed 7 years later. You'll be inspired by the Petersons' year-long journey to see their son Jason receive a dramatic healing, and Shirley Vaughn's fight for total health against a lifelong digestive disorder. Rejoice at Leslie and Mary Decker's healings from asthma and the Terades family's journey to seeing their daughter Hannah snatched from the jaws of death. The DVD is titled Healing Journeys Volume 1, and it's available for a gift of any amount when you request item number T3005D. The teaching that lies behind each of these miracles is Andrew's 4-part album titled God Wants You Well. It's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for album T1036 and be sure to specify whether you'd like a CD album or a DVD album made from our television programs. The 3rd teaching in the series is also available for a donation. But if you're unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this 3rd CD free of charge. Request teaching TI3 titled Why Isn't Everyone Healed? When you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
I'd like to encourage you to please get these products that we're offering, because I believe that this is going to make a huge difference. I guarantee you, you could be well and see other people get well if you just receive this revelation. We have a teaching on this in CD form, cassette form. We also have it in DVD as recorded here on television, and that would be a tremendous resource. We also have this Healing Journeys. Please listen as our announcer gives you this information.
You can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online. Plus, there's a wealth of free ministry material at www.awmi.net. Or you can use credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.